today, I hope that as I present this message to you, you'll hear me prayerfully. I'll probably be a little closer to my notes today. Some days I don't use notes. And some days when it's a little more measured like it is today, I want to stay on target as much as possible. Where are we today? Those of you that have a few years on you, did you think that this would be where you are today, years ago? Nah. There's a few liars out there that'll say otherwise, but nah. It's not. There's no way you could have anticipated all the things that have happened in our world in just the last couple of decades, last 10 years even. Our world is truly more uncertain than it's ever been. We stand at that point in our world of a lot of decisions that are going to have to be made in our world right now. Right now, even as we're meeting here, decisions are being made around the planet. Whether you want it to affect you or not, it's going to affect you. A huge storm has come ashore in our country and physically changed a lot of things. People have died. I don't know what the death toll is now. It's over 100. There'll be some others that will be found later that people didn't know about. I think about particularly in some more urban areas, all the homeless people that aren't on anybody's count and where they are today. It's interesting that here we are in this huge election in our country, which has ramifications for the world. And who is the next president in our country has implications. Countries right now, the world is waiting to see who's going to be in office in our country. That's just a fact of life. And in the middle of that, this storm comes. Not accidental. I'm no, what's that guy's name, Pat? Again? No, the preacher. Yeah, Pat Robertson, thank you. Having a senior moment there. Y'all obviously didn't know what I was talking about. I hope that's not the rest of the day. Predicting about the storm was specifically for this or that. I take it as the Lord orders the universe in the timing of things. What a reminder that He's bigger than any plan that man can make. Our church stands at a pivotal place also. We've absorbed a lot of change over the last several years. It's been a ride in a lot of ways. Who are we today? Who will we be? Has God placed us in this city? Has He? Well, I want you to know when Audrey and I left Jones County to come here to plant this church in 1993, I had in my mind the old suburban model of church. with all the bells and whistles. That was much in my mind. Now, some of you can understand that statement that I just made, some of the rest of you. We'll talk about it later, about what that means. But it seems like the Lord is increasingly, instead of letting us get further into the burbs, He has drawn us farther into the city. You notice that? Must be a reason for that. One of the things I believe God's saying to us today, I believe this in my heart. Am I in a good volume, John? Okay. Because I want you to be able to share this message with others. They'll hear it later. May not be the prettiest message, most well-constructed sermonette for the Christianettes who drive Corvettes and smoke cigarettes. But I'm sorry. But sometimes y'all aren't listening. Just want to make sure you're there. I'm not ADD, because I do come back around. ADD, you never get them back. And my dad's one. We're at a pivotal place of deciding whether or not we're going to let what we say we are and who we say we are match up with what we're doing. And right now it doesn't. Did you hear that? Right now it doesn't. I want you to turn with me to a passage of Scripture that I've never preached on before in the years of our existence. I referred to it before, but I've never preached this whole passage of Scripture. Malachi, it's the Italian prophet, Malachi. Chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. We're going to read through verse 12. Now, I'll go ahead and say to you today, you won't get the whole load today, nor by listening to this message we get all of it today. You're probably going to have to listen to this a couple of times. If you're interested. You may not be interested. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. And from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes, and you've not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. Boy, there's a message right there. Return to me, and I will return to you. Says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Here's a question. What does it look like? What does it look like us returning to the Lord? Hear what he says. Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? Here's the answer. In tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. Those are not the same thing. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Remember what happened to some people in Acts 5 that didn't bring it all in to the Lord? Ananias and Sapphira? Bang, bang. They drop dead. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so there will be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. How many times have you heard that open the windows of heaven thing used in all sorts of applications? But I want you to know right here is its primary place. I will open up the windows of heaven and will pour out a blessing until it overflows. That's a promise from God. Then, he goes on, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes. In other words, they drop off the tree, the vine, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Now, Lord, today I ask you that you'll speak through me to us. Lord, I'm sure in just a few minutes when I get done with this that I will have heard some things I haven't heard before. Speak now, Lord. Holy Spirit, come in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now he begins this passage cautioning the nation with a call, return to me. And here is the reciprocal thing. You return to me and I will return to you. It's both and. Return to me. Return to me how? How can we show? I want to ask you this. Does our nation need to return to the Lord? Yes, it does. Oh, we can give all kinds of statistics about having a little pocket of what somebody might call revival here or there, but there is a steady move in our nation away from God, away from His principles, away from His book, away from the truth. We need a return today. Regardless of what stripe you are, what political party you happen to be, you know, our salvation isn't in any of that. Our salvation is in Jesus. In Him alone. There is no other in the earth. But then they ask the question, but how shall we? What does it look like, Lord? What does it look like us returning to the Lord? Now I want to show you this because He strikes right at the place that strikes a nerve with all of us. He goes to our money and our stuff that we hold on to, that we clutch. He says, will a man rob God? Well, Lord, have we robbed you? He says, and the indictment is, we're robbing you. You've kept back your tithes and your offerings. And what does he mean by the word tithe? Tithe is just, I wish that when we translate, we'd just say a tenth. That's what it means. It doesn't mean anything else. It means one tenth. That's what it means. Now, how much of what you have belongs to God? How much of it that you have was a gift from God? Every single bit of it. What does He then require of us? This is not optional. For anybody, if you say you belong to God, it's not optional. Now, for those of you who are guests here today, I guarantee you there's nobody in here today that can remember the last time I even uttered money in this church, can you? We don't talk about it. But we are today. Here's an indication. Here's an indication of where your heart is. Where you're willing to put that which is your treasure. What do you treasure? It's not about the money. You say, what are you talking about? No, It's about the heart. The money is the outward expression of what is in the heart. A tenth means a tenth. And when we give that tenth unto the Lord, that is our indication to Him and to all those that are looking around, including the devourer, the world, the flesh, and the devil, that we belong to God. And that we're acknowledging that all that we have belongs to God. It's an outward expression. Someone asked me, said, why do y'all have that thing? Why don't you just let people do this offering thing quietly? Because it's a part of worship. It's a part of giving to the Lord. Now, and, you know, you can go to the basket in the back or go up here or wherever you want to go. But it's an act of worship. Even when you're on your computer and you're clicking that box for the computer for your bank to send that check, that's an act of worship. It's a holy time. You see, He's getting to our stuff here. You know, James Carville said it several years ago when President Clinton was elected the first time. You remember what the theme was? It's the economy, stupid. Remember that? I can't. Maybe I do sound like James Carville. It's the economy, stupid. But you know what? There's never been an election in our country's history that it wasn't the economy, stupid. Is it? Look back. Because what are people voting about? What are they thinking about? They're thinking about their stuff. What belongs to them? And God's saying, 10% of that, none of it belongs to you. I'm letting you use it. A friend of mine years ago built a new house. He brought me over to pray over the house with him, and we stood out in front of his house, beautiful. Homie said, preacher said, I just want to let you know, I realize it doesn't belong to me. God's just let me use it. You know, it's that way about all our stuff. How much can you take with you? I've probably done close to 1,000 funerals now in my lifetime. I don't know. I didn't keep up with it. Dr. Wilder over at Calvary, as long as he was there 55 years, he could tell you every funeral he had done, he counted them up. I quit counting a long time ago. Just not my style. But I've never come out there. I've looked behind all those hearses. There's never been a trailer hitch on any of them. In regards to what you're buried with, you'll come back unless the grave robbers come and get it, and it's still going to be buried with you. Witness that with the pharaohs of Egypt. Surrounded themselves with all that stuff, including live people they had buried with them. Can you imagine that? Being that ridiculous about stuff. Are we any different, though? Thinking we're going to hang on to it tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Just like that. Things could change. You could find out tomorrow you've only got a short time to live. What are you doing with your stuff? 10% of it at the beginning. That's the baseline. That's our agreement with God as part of His family. And listen, I've had this discussion with many people. They say, well, turn the page, preacher. When you get to the New Testament, tithing goes out. No, it doesn't. You can't show me that in the Word because it's not in the Word. No, what's in the Word is like Mr. Day did, Founder Day's Inn. He began, he got saved, God did a wonderful work in his life, he started giving 10%. You know how much he was given by the end of his life? He flip-flopped it. He was given 90. What did he say about it? Because it's the Lord. 10% is His. That is His. That's His. It belongs to Him. And if it's in your pocket, it's sin. That's right. It's sin. That's what it says. That's what Bible means. I realize some of you today are not going to be happy with me today. But this is the truth. This is where we are. What we give on top of that, then begins an offering. But the 10% is a tithe. You know, we've got people in our church right now who have lost their job, who have no income, and are still giving. Praise the Lord. I thank God for people who have sacrificed. It's not equal gifts, it's equal sacrifice. A friend of mine told me this story, and this guy came in. He said, "Man, preacher," said, "I want you to pray for me." He said, "I need to get this next job." And he said, "It's a real good job. God's faithful in his church, faithful in his tithing, giving to the Lord." And they got the job. But he noticed that his giving at the church, his income doubled. But his giving went down. Or stayed at the same rate. Preacher called him up, pretty bold. He said, "Hey man, what's the deal?" He said, "Man," he said, "do you realize how much money that is?" Hear what the preacher said. He said, "Well, let me pray for you today that God will get you back in that other job so you can afford to tithe." Are we robbing God? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. There may be food in my house, and test me now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing until it overflows. There's the promise. There's the bad news. Here's the good news. You do what God says. It doesn't matter what the economy is. It doesn't matter what the world shape is going on. You are under His cover, and God is going to come where you are and provide for your needs. What does the Scripture say there? As Abraham went up on that mountain, he called that place. That mountain he went up where God said, "You will sacrifice there your son Isaac unto me." Well, what did he say up on that mountain? He called that place Yahweh Yireh. God will, the Lord will provide. Yahweh will provide. Yahweh will provide. He is with you. That's the blessing. He says, he goes on. He says, "I'll also rebuke the devourer from you." Is the devourer out there? Is the evil one trying to destroy us, destroy our families, destroy our businesses, destroy us as a nation, destroy us in our church, to little by little take away from us, erode this, erode that? Is he out there? Is the devourer there? Yes, he is. The place we start here is in obedience to Him. And a primary place of obedience is your pocketbook. Because if there's a problem there, I guarantee you there are problems other places. This is a place where we can't hold back from the Lord. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us in this city. He wants to open up the windows of heaven and come. And I believe that. I'm 58 years old. I've had enough stuff happen to me in my lifetime and seen enough destruction around me and stuff go on and on. I'm not cynical today. I've made it through. I sat there and listened to R.G. Lee, one of the greatest preachers of the 20th century. The old man, he was in his middle 80s. They had to help him get up on the stage. He preached that great sermon, Payday Someday. One of the greatest sermons I've ever heard in my life. And they helped him up there. He had been preaching since his teens. And one of the things I went away from, I didn't remember much of what he said that day, but what I do remember is that that man was not cynical. He still had fire in his belly. He still wanted to see the Lord come with power. I want to see that in Savannah before Jesus gets me out of here. I want to see that come here. I want us to be people God has called us to be. I'll rebuke the devourer so he'll not destroy the fruits of the ground. Do you feel like even sometime when you start making more money that it gets eaten away? Do you feel that? The devourer coming and stealing from you. What's the promise here? All the nations will call you blessed. For you will be a delightful land. That was a promise to Israel. It's a promise to us. We'll be called blessed. You know, I've used this a lot of times. God's managed to let us survive over these years. Survive as a church. And if you're thinking today, we got wads of money that we've never had wads of money. We've always lived week to week. That's right. Because you know what? I don't believe in savings accounts for churches. I don't. It's not biblical. So, oh, but no. No. You live, the just shall live by what? Faith. But then we want to put our butt on the end. But preacher, what if this? God, He will provide. He is Yahweh, Yireh. At the end of that chapter, chapter 3 says, so you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. You know what? That's why I'm praying. That we're going to stand out as the righteous. Not because we've become idiots in the name of Jesus. Not because we've become so hateful about this or that issue in the land that they show up with network television that has to hear the hate spew out of our mouths or some scenario like that. But because we're doing what's right and we're seeing people lifted up. That's why the name of our church is the Sycamore Church. We call it the sycamore because of that tree for Zacchaeus. It lifted him up so he could see Jesus. But folks, we need the tree. We need obedience. It's time to quit just getting by and surviving. It's time to thrive as the body of Christ. Do you know what would happen if the families in our church tithe? Well, I hadn't gone down and done it recently, but just giving a conservative estimate about that. We wouldn't know how to invest all the money in the kingdom. That's right. It'd be that much. It's time for us to move beyond the 15 or 20% people in the church tithing. It's time to move where we can see the obedience of God as He will respond to us and will honor our obedience to Him. You know, there's a law of sowing and reaping. It's God's investment plan. You be obedient with what God puts in your hand and you will reap. You can take that to the bank. Now, Does that mean that it's always in money? Maybe not. Excuse me, but sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. Why wouldn't God come and do that? Why? God's had his hand on this church for a long time. We don't need to piddle away his blessing. I believe this in my heart. And this is why it's a heavy message for me today. If we don't do what God's called us to do, God's going to get somebody else. You know why it's heavy for me? Because I don't want to miss out on the sublime blessing of God. Many of us have bought into the lie that what we have, our money, is a zero-sum game. You know what I mean by a zero-sum game? It means there's only this much in the game. If you take away this much, then there's nothing else. You've lost that. You know what that is? That's a lie. Because it makes it limited by this. And what did he say earlier? He said, I'm willing to open up the heavens and shower down a blessing on you. But we got to be in a place we can receive it. And you got your head down like this when God wants you like this. Me too. And hear me today. I'm preaching, I may point a finger, but I want you to know every time I point one, it's three coming back at me. It's not a zero-sum game. God might just want to bless you. Can you outgive him? Have you tried? Have you tried? How many times? How many times I can count my life, mine Audrey's life, where we were right at the edge. Bingo, bango. God opens up something and he provides. Can I get a witness on that? From anybody? He'll provide. But what I'm asking you today, why stop there? You say, well, preacher, I just ain't got it. Really? Do you think you can save enough money, put enough away for you, that will insure you against anything that comes your way? Sickness, death, financial failure, rules change in the financial system. Just a thought. I'm not preaching against saving either. But the tithe first belongs to the Lord. Ephesians 2:10 says, this is after he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the free gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? There you have the salvation message. But then right after the salvation message of his grace and mercy in our lives, then he says, and we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which shall glorify the Father which is in heaven. So he means to use us and use everything that we put in his hands. I'm asking you today, what have you put in his hands? What are you putting in his hands? Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know what's happening in our country right now? We finally come to a place in the history of our nation that we can't buy our way out of a crisis. You can't just throw money at it and it changes. Never has, really. But we believe that. We've got to come to the Lord. And who are we? This church. This little church in Savannah, Georgia. We went away today. What would change in Savannah? I hope a lot. I hope a lot. That's how vital it is. You know, God doesn't measure us the way man measures things. He measures by obedience. One of the things that I believe the Lord showed me a while back is in the days that are to come, I believe God has a special plan for this body. I believe that with all my heart. I believe it so much that I recite it to the Lord on a regular basis. You told me this. You told me this. And I say to Him over and over again, if you didn't tell me this, make it plain that you didn't tell me this. And over again, I get the affirmation. Every church is unique. Here are the ways we're unique. We're a wide-range church, physically, ethnically, financially, economically, a lot of ways. You would not find this group of people in any other context, would you? And be honest. No, you don't go to any other meetings. You're not a part of any other clubs or organizations that have this kind of diversity. It doesn't exist. I know that because I'm part of some of those other groups and it just doesn't exist there. That's a blessing from God. We've come from a lot of different belief places too. Some of you have come from strong denominational backgrounds. But many of you have come right out of the world to Jesus. Our church holds to the truth, to the Word of God, not compromising the Word. At times, because we preach and teach the truth, it's cost us people who've left us. Yes, yes. Oh, now that I understand you. No. I can't do that. This book is our guide. We do preach, teach, believe in the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Our vision of church is different. It takes some of you a long time, and some of you still haven't caught it yet, but you're going to catch it if you stick around. Because it's caught more than it's taught. It's hard to explain sometimes because we have a vision of church outside the doors of a building. And our vision of church that goes outside the doors is not just a vision designed to get people inside our doors. If you accuse us of that, you missed it. We've never done that. We've never prostituted ourselves with that kind of stuff. Not going to start either. Do you understand what I just said? We're not about building this kingdom, the sycamore empire, or the dusty empire, whatever. Empire. It's kind of like when Dad took me over on 59th Street where he had all the junk from his business, and it was next door to my grandma on an empty lot there, and he said, took me and my brother Vic, said, "Boys, I want you to look at it." You know what he said. "All this is going to be yours one day." He lied. They hauled that junk off. I didn't even get to sell the copper this time. If you've got that vision of our... That's not who we are. And let me tell you, that's a popular vision in America. Come build your kingdom. Come grow with us. Let's build some more buildings that 20 years from now we can wonder why we built them and spent all that money. We're very simple. Simple. Somebody told me one day, said, "Dusty, you're just too plain." He said, let me see if I can get the voice right. "Oh, we're looking for depth." Oh, how many times I've been told that. And I thought to myself, well, you're looking for depth. Doesn't look like you're diving into stuff that's ankle deep right now. We're not an organization. We're a living, breathing organism of the Lord Jesus. We are His body on this earth. He has placed it here in Savannah, Georgia. And it hurts my soul to see junk that happens in the city like happened at the fair last night. Those people, the shooting that took place, and all the drive-by and all the other junk that goes on in our city that needs Jesus, that needs love, that people need that intervention of the Lord Himself. And it comes via us. We're His hands and His feet. Form follows function. We believe that. We believe the church is taking... it's looking different. Those traditional ways of the church. The essence of the body doesn't change. But all the ways culturally, we've said the church has to be this way. God's changing all that. He's throwing us out into businesses and into the world to be His people. He's calling us to do that. We believe in a church gathered and then scattered in His name. And yes, we believe in a two-wing church, a gathering in a large group and in a small group. Is it fair for us to ask God to do great things if we've not been willing to be obedient with this? Just a question. Is it? I want to thank you. Some of you that have been with us for a long time. We're family and we're going to be family right on. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you for those who have sacrificed to tithe and to give. I want to especially thank those of you who have made me weep by your faithfulness. Literally weeping. Giving when you hadn't even got a job. Man, tears me up. I'm asking you something today. I'm asking you as a body to begin tithing today. Today. Not 5%, not 8%, 10%. Asking you to do that. Asking you to take the next step of obedience to the Lord. What happens when we give? When we give, it's an act of faith. We literally don't know what's going to happen next. When we give as unto the Lord. What happens when we give? We give first to the Lord and all else follows. Someone said, preacher, should you tithe on the gross or the net? Which blessing do you want? The gross blessing of God or the net? Cutesy little thing, but you know what I mean. We give expecting. I bathe this in prayer. If I've said anything that's not of the Lord, I ask your forgiveness. I mean that. If I've offended you by my manner, I ask your forgiveness. But I will not ask your forgiveness for speaking the truth. Spent most of Friday morning praying over this, and a lot of times I asked the Lord to speak to me in a dream. Maybe a convoluted way of looking at things, but a lot of times I'll say, well, in a dream, I've got less opportunity to manipulate out the results, because the dream just happens. I'm not the director in there. I'd gotten up real early Friday morning, and an hour or two before daylight, and then went back to bed for a short time. And we've got a puppy at home, so Daisy Duke requires a lot of attention. Mid-morning, after I'd prayed for a good while, I said, well, Lord, I'm going to go take a nap. I prayed before I went to sleep. Lord, please speak to me in my dreams. I had a very simple dream that went something like this. I was fishing. I was standing on the bow of a boat, looking straight ahead. I had in my hand an ultralight fishing rod and tackle. That's a real small, very light line. I cast my lure straight ahead. All these parts are very, very important to the story. Straight ahead. As soon as my lure hit the water, a huge swirl came. It was a trophy bass, largemouth bass. He hit my line. I set the hook, thinking, oh, I don't have heavy enough line. I'm not going to be able to get it in. But I landed him. Then I was in the middle between sleep and awake. And I realized, oh, I've just had this dream. And I prayed. And I said, Lord, is there another? You got some more for me? That's it. Then he gave me the interpretation when I woke up. Here it is. He said, go straight ahead. Go straight ahead with what you have prepared for Sunday. Go straight ahead with the plans I have given to you for this church. Go straight ahead. Do not look back. You're headed in the right direction. I was using ultralight tackle. What could that mean? He showed me that too. We don't have any heavy hitters in our church. Been no people with big bucks unless you've been hiding that for a long time. But I just don't think we have any. Other churches I pastored, we always had somebody, you know, you could go to, the guy that could write the big check. We don't have any of those people. Lord said, that's all right. There's no big weapon I could pull out and say, Lord, here's the heavy hitter. Here's the big rod that can land the big one. And while I was, he was showing me that, he said, remember what I told to Moses when he had his rod? He said, throw it down. He said, I told you to cast your lure out there. And you did. I cast my lure. Today I've executed what God told me to do. Had to put it out there. Our vision, the need that we have in the city, the people that need Jesus, the people around the world that we're connected with, and in Nigeria and in Haiti and Israel and all of England, all the places where the Lord's taking us physically. Because there can be no vision unless there's an accompanying need. A big bass hit that lure immediately. I believe this was God's affirmation that He will answer. The fish was actually too big for the tackle that I was using. But God let me hang him and reel him in. That shows me that God has miraculously more in store for us than what we can imagine or even pray for or prepare for. It's beyond what we can imagine. But we must be obedient. What will you do? I'm going to pray. I know I've gone a long time today. I ask your forgiveness for that. But you know what? We don't have 10 dozen worship services during the week. 80,000 committees we're asking you to be a part of. It's just a few minutes. Isn't it? It's just a few minutes. I don't whine and complain and all that stuff, except Audrey. But I want to pray for us. I know some of you have already given today. I'm asking you to ask the Lord again. Because today I'm asking you two questions. I'm asking you to give today. Yes. We live by a shoestring in this church financially. Have for years and years. Decades. Two decades now. That's how it's worked. It's by faith every week. By faith. Literally. I'm asking you to get. Do you know that today, if everybody that was here today gave $10 more, there would be, at the end of the year, it would be $100,000. How do you like that math? If that became an every week thing. Not only I ask for an offering today, I'm asking today for change. And whether or not you're going to be willing to come into agreement with God. Now, I want you to go back and look at that scripture. See if I've taken anything out of context. See if anything I've said today, and I'll put it up to the Holy Spirit Velcro test today. Anything I've said today that's wrong, may it fall to the ground. But if it's right, we got to deal with it. And we begin today. I'm asking you to give. Step it up. Step up to the plate. Been holding out that one that you're going to, well, we want to get a big one. We need it today. Today's the day. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your presence here today. Lord, today, as much as is in my heart, I've asked us, Lord, as I read that scripture, Lord, we want to return to you. But that returning begins by returning what belongs to you. Lord, I'm asking for your power. I'm asking for you to come. Lord, for some of us that are distraught right now today, I'm asking for your comfort. Lord, most of all today, I'm asking for your people to become obedient. We bless you. And we thank you. Some very quiet music, Gary, as we remain in attitude of prayer. The baskets are here. If you want to come and pray at the altar, you can today. While you're praying, I want you to listen also to this testimony. Okay. Priscilla's just had a baby. She didn't run in the marathon.
About a week ago, DJ lost his wallet, and he was really upset. It actually happened when I was in the hospital with the baby. And out of the midst of all that, God was speaking to me, and he put a scripture in my head. And this hadn't happened to me in a while. Like, things just pop up in my head. And I know they're God sometimes, and other times they're me. But this time, a scripture popped up in my head. And I got a prompting for the Holy Spirit to read it to him. And first we prayed about his wallet, you know, that God would comfort him and that everything would be okay. And then after this was when the scripture popped up in my head. And it was the exact same scripture that Dusty was preaching about. Like, this just came out of nowhere. Like, read Malachi so-and-so, because I heard it a long time ago. So I pulled out the Bible and I actually read it to him. And I read the exact words that Dusty said. And God told us, you know, it's going to be okay because Your security is not in your wallet. It's not in your credit cards. It's not in your ID. Your security is in me. And if you've been faithful, you've been tithing, and you've been doing everything that I've been asking you to do, you have nothing to worry about. So, you know, we kept praying about it. I kept reassuring DJ, you know, everything's going to be okay. God has our back, you know. Don't worry about it. They're not going to steal your identity. Our finances are going to be okay because God has our back. And about 5 or 6 days later, he has a phone call, and it's a cop on the phone saying, hey, somebody dropped off your wallet. You have it. Come and pick it up. So we were like, praise God. Praise God. God is good, and he's faithful and just in the middle of your trials, no matter what you're going through. He'll drop a line telling you it'll be okay. If you're faithful and you're just and you're obedient to God, he's got your back.
Hey. We've got another testimony.
Well, as you know, my mom, she flew in from Massachusetts to come visit us because we just had a baby. And before she left, she heard about the hurricane coming. She texted me on my phone. She was like, oh, no, what am I going to do? The hurricane is coming. I'm not going to be able to come. They're going to cancel it. You know, I really want to see the baby. And God kept telling me, you know, just go to the airport, go to the airport. So I let my mom know, go to the airport, go to the air. She was like, but the weather and, you know, it's going to be scary and all that other stuff. It's a hurricane. I was like, don't worry about it. Just go. Monday morning, I got up around 3:30. I was packing my things. And then it was getting really bad. The rain was coming down and, you know, I got my suitcase and I was just going to go ahead and go. And there was a bus stop nearby. And it was in New Bedford, Massachusetts. I was waiting for the bus. And the bus dropped me off at the nearby bus station, the Peter Pan bus. I asked, what time is the bus going to get here to the airport? They were like, sorry, it's closed. It's canceled. Didn't you hear the news? The hurricane's coming. Well, I haven't seen the news, and I didn't know what was going on or what was canceled. So the weather was still bad, and the eye of the storm wasn't there, but we were getting it bad because of the outskirts of the hurricane. And so I didn't know what to do. I was just stuck at the bus station, and there were cabs around, you know, just waiting. And then I felt like a little prompting from the Holy Spirit to push me to go ahead. So I walked, and I asked the cab, I was like, how much does it cost to get to the airport? And they were like, where are you going? I'm going to Raleigh. It's going to cost $100. To go. So, you know, it's worth my family to go and see my family in Georgia. So we got in the cab, and then we were driving to the airport, and it was getting really bad, but in the middle of it all, you know, everything was good. It took about an hour to get there. And then we got to the airport, we dropped off, and then we got to the airliner, and they said her flight, that hers was the only one that was open, and then all of a sudden it was canceled. And then she was like, oh no, what am I going to do? And then the lady was like, well, we'll put you up in a hotel room, we'll give you free meals and stuff like that, and your flight will be rescheduled for the next day. So to make a long story short, in the middle of the hurricane, you know, she was safe, and she got here on time, and the Holy Spirit, you know, carried her the rest of the way here. So she arrived here. And then after she got here, there was a lot of devastation of where she was living. So God rescued her out of the hurricane's path. That's it. Sorry.
Amen. Thank you for the testimony. That touch your heart? All right, we're through singing. It's time to do something about it. I'm going to send you out in the name of Jesus. And I want to remind you, as you're going out, if He's prompted you to give today, and you haven't, don't come back to me. Okay? That's between you and Him. Sick 'em.